China's economy is bouncing back, but has it bounced back enough? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. China's economy has rebounded more than expected after those very strict COVID controls were lifted at the end of last year. Fresh figures show the economy grew by 4.5% from January to March. So what's been driving growth and how do the numbers measure up? Here's what Iris Pang, Chief Economist for Greater China at the Dutch bank ING in Hong Kong, thinks.
It is actually a lot better than my expectation. My forecast was 3.8% year on year for the first quarter, and even the consensus was only 4. So 4.5 is actually amazing. And if we dig deeper into the main reason why it is 4.5%, we find out that retail sales grew 10.6% year on year in March alone. That means consumers are going back to their normal life spending and consuming catering services. This is the main growth within retail sales. So domestic economy, consumers, they are back to normal.
China's the second largest economy after the US. So what do brighter economic prospects there mean for the rest of the world? Let's hear from Iris again.
It's not just good news, because the slowing economy in the US and a little bit in the Europe is actually affecting China exports. And this is feeding back into China's labor markets and wage growth. That could affect consumption in the latter part of this year. And that could have a negative effect into the global economy later in the year.
Iris Pang, Chief Economist for Greater China at ING in Hong Kong. Now, let's see the numbers. Well, that Chinese economic data failed to impress the Hang Seng in Hong Kong, which is down a little, but the data appeared to boost market sentiment in Europe, with the pan-European Stoxx 600 index up slightly, with luxury companies benefiting from increased consumer spending in China. Apple has opened its first retail store in India, the second largest smartphone market in the world. It's also a growing manufacturing base, with 7% of the world's iPhones made in India last year. Our business correspondent Archana Shukla is there, standing out on the street. Hi, Archana.
Hi.
So what is it like there? Has a big crowd gathered?
Oh, well, yes, there was a huge queue gathered outside. They started queuing up from 7, 8 in the morning. And they were waiting both for Tim Cook's arrival and as well as opening of the gates for the new store here. Much fanfare. There were, you know, Indian instruments being played. There was, in fact, a five-year-old kid I met here, you know, who said, I want to meet Tim Cook and tell him that I want to buy Apple when I grow up. So you had, you know, excited customers here.
I mean, considering how big a market India is, my question to you has to be, why doesn't Apple have a store there already?
So Apple has been selling their products in India for over 25 years, but through their premium authorized resellers. You know, and it wasn't that big a market, particularly for Apple. Apple has always been an aspirational brand for India. But in the last few years, as the economy has grown, as the purchasing power has grown, there actually has been a demand for premiumization among the Indian customers. And that is what Apple has seen. Their market share has actually grown, especially in the ultra premium and premium smartphone category. They've actually become the most popular brand. That is what has really pushed Apple to see India as a strategic retail market as well. We know they have been building up their manufacturing presence in the last couple of years, but now it's also the retail push.
Well, the BBC's Archana Shukla in Mumbai, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's pick the bones out of this one. A full skeleton of a T-Rex is up at auction in Switzerland today, but you'll need a minimum of around $5 million if you want to bid. Who is likely to buy it? Carl Green is from the auctioneer Collar, where the T-Rex, which has been named Trinity, will go under the hammer. He's been speaking to the BBC's Sam Fenwick.
It will almost definitely be a private person, because museums just, you know, they need a lot of time to unite that much money and find donors, etc. But we're hoping that it will be a private person who does make it public afterwards, maybe lending it to a museum or making it available to the public.
Now, two other significant T-Rex skeletons have gone up for auction. One was called Sue. That sold for $8.4 million in 1997. And Stan took a world record for nearly $32 million 3 years ago. So how much might you look at Trinity going for?
Well, you know, we've estimated it conservatively between 5 and 8 million. There's a reason for that, because for one thing, we as auctioneers, we always try to make the estimate attractive to attract the maximum number of buyers into the sale. The second reason is it is a composite skeleton. It's made from three different T-Rexes, which most paleontologists think is actually a plus, because then you can study three different animals in the same skeleton. For some people, that might be something that hinders them from bidding higher on it.
One final question I must ask you is, because you've mentioned Sue and Stan, and now we're selling Trinity. Who comes up with these names?
That's Sue and Stan were actually named after the people who found them. And they were people who were on the team of the paleontologists. So they decided to name them after the person who first saw the first bones. Trinity was because we thought it would be a nice name for what the fossil is, since it's a composite of three different dinosaurs, three different T-Rexes. We thought it deserved the name Trinity. And also it seems that it's a female. So Trinity seemed like a good name.
Seems complicated naming these dinosaurs. Carl Green from the Auctioneer Collar there. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Izzy Whitehead was pressing all the buttons today. Our editor is Joe Critcher. I'm Leanna Byrne. And thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.